This afternoon, I'm going to take the text from Luke 5, from verse 1 to 6. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. Here ended the reading of this text, taken from Luke 5, 1 to 6. My theme here this morning is launching out into the deep. Stop fishing in shallow waters. You know, Yeshua HaMashiach was the most compassionate, knowledgeable, and reliable teacher that ever walked this earth. He was a very popular preacher too, and an invaluable and extraordinary teacher. There was none like him, and there will be none after him. Though at the age of 12, in Luke 2:46, he disputed with doctors. Remember when they went up to Jerusalem for the feast, and after this journey, his mom realized that he wasn't with them. And searching through the crowd, she didn't find him. She went back to the temple, and there he was among doctors talking about his father. And they were marveled. They couldn't understand the intelligence of this young man. And he didn't go to any rabbinical school either. Yet he was equipped with all this knowledge. And at the age of 30, there he was with a common citizen ministering to them. He didn't go back to the temple, right? He stayed amongst the common people. Whenever he goes to the temple, it's to reprove them there, because they had their own ideas. They had their own philosophies. And that's why they couldn't understand the way of his reasoning. And as his word said, that he came for the lost sheep of Israel. And he sat among the commoners, and he taught them diligently. And they are the ones that responded to him the most. He called Andrew. He called Peter. Who are these people? They weren't Pharisees. They were not members of the Sanhedrin. They were common fishermen. But he brought them into his fold so that they can fish for men and not for fishes. The power that was resonating within Yeshua depicted his personality. You know, he was distinguished, but yet they had to pay someone to kiss him so that they could have known who it was that they were going to destroy. But you know, it was prophesied. And because of prophecy, it had to be done that way. But Yeshua was a distinguished man. Wherever he stands, there was a powerhouse. People like hallelujah, praise the Lord. During Yeshua's earthly walk, he drew many people unto him. Many people that were famished. He came when the ground was dry. He came when there were no prophets. Malachi was the last prophet. And Yahweh had withheld any instruction, any communication from Israel. So the ground was dry. And out of this ground, he sprang forth from Jesse. And people could not understand him. He was different. His nature was different. Because you know why? He came to seek and to save the lost. And they were all lost, and they thought that they were doing the right thing because of their traditions. But he came keeping the law, the Torah. They thought they were keeping the Torah. But they were bringing so much pressure upon themselves and other people because of their own personal traditions. And here is Yeshua in Lake Gennesaret, ministering to the people, drawing crowds to him. And let's turn quickly to Genesis 49 and 10. It says, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be." Let us look at verse 1 of Luke 5. It says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him." So the last part of Genesis 49:10, "Unto him shall the gathering of the people be." So we see prophecy being fulfilled because the people were pressing upon him. They were hungry. They were thirsty. There was a desire in them to know the truth. And Yeshua is the way, the truth, and the life. They recognized who he was. And they wanted what he had in him. And so should our desire be. Our desire should always be to walk like him. He has left a pattern for us to follow. He has left us a direction that we should go. But still, we get lost along the way. You know why? Pride of life, lust of the eyes, and lust of the flesh. You see, the things we see with our eyes dazzle. The things dazzle our eyes. And after our flesh is consumed with lust, and then the pride of life steps right in. And then we go on down the road of sedition. But Let us hold on to the truth. And Yeshua is the living truth. And he came and he spoke the truth. He lived the life of a truthful person and left examples that we should follow. John 1, verse 4 to 5. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the darkness, the light shines so much in the darkness, darkness couldn't suppress the light. As much as darkness was overwhelming, it could not suppress the light, because light is light. Light is light. If we are in a dark room, what will happen to us? We will stumble. We can't find our way around. But somebody lights a candle, it makes a big difference. And he is that light. The life of man. He came to change wrong things. And the high priest and the members of the Sanhedrin and all the Sadducees that didn't believe in angels and the scribes, they were the ones that wrote the law. They were the law themselves. They couldn't understand Yeshua. His voice echoed from the pulpit of a borrowed boat. There were two fishermen he saw washing their nets. They had fished all night in Lake Genesaret. I was looking up something last night about Lake Genesaret. And this is what I gathered. Genesaret, then there is another name, spelling G-E-N-N-E-S-A-R-E-T. Then you have G-E-N-N-E-S-A-R-E-T-H, or Ginosar, which is G-I-N-O-S-A-R. It means a garden of riches. It was a town allocated to the tribe of Naphtali. If you turn to Joshua 19, quickly, Joshua 19, 35, more or less from it's early on, it tells you, at this point it doesn't tell you that it went to a little up. It will be, let me see if my Bible, where it tells you, oh yes, this is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Naphtali. So it was given on, it was allotted to that tribe. You know, Naphtali was one of Jacob's children. In Numbers 34:11 and Joshua 13:27, it is mentioned as Chinnereth, and Joshua 12:3 as Chinnereth. In later times, the name was gradually changed to Genesareth, Genezar, or Genesaret. The present-day Israel kibbutz, K-I-B-B-U-T-Z, of Ginosar, derives its name from this ancient town, though it is not certain that it is located on the precise site. This city stood on the northern shore of the lake to which it gave its name. The valley washed by the lake is called the Valley of Genesaret and is renowned for its fertility. It was perhaps halfway between Capernaum and Magdala. The name is Grecized form of Genesaret. The equivalent names are the Sea of Galilee or Lake Tiberias. The name is also used for the plain of Genesaret. For beauty and fertility, it is called the Paradise of Galilee. Its modern name is El Gouir, G-H U-W-E-I-R. Its surface lies 682 feet below sea level. It is 20 kilometers long and 9 kilometers wide. Its widest depth is 141 feet, and its rich edible fish differed in taste from those of the other lakes in Palestine. At the time, during the time of the disciples, it was covered with countless fishing boats and ships, which at times were in serious danger on account of the violent winds to which the lake was subject. So that's a little history about Gennesaret. And this was the very area where Jesus was, the lake that Peter and Andrew and his other contemporaries were fishing in the very night before our Savior resend them back to the lake to fish in deep waters. So these men were out there all night. I mean, let's be practical. You're toiling all night, and your toil was unproductive. You could become frustrated, right? Your body become listless. You want to sleep. And then, after toiling, you had to wash your nets. Well, I don't know. There are different types of fishing nets that they have. I know in my country, we have this saying where two boats will come together and they drop the seine and they have buoys attached to the top and at the bottom is lead to keep the net down in the water. And they're able to drag the fish and shrimp and whatever it is, marine life that is down there. I don't know what net they use, but when they came out, they were washing the nets. And I guess that will take a lot of time. Because it would gather small particles and, you know, shrubberies and whatever may be at the bottom of the sea. So we're probably talking about another hour's work, right? And then they come now and Yeshua telling Peter, go back out a little in the water. Let me use your boat as a pulpit. Now they come, you're tired. I mean, a human mind would say that Yeshua was inhumane. How could you tell a man or men who have been toiling all night to come and listen to my sermon and after finish listening to my sermon, go back out and fish again? The normal mind would say that he was inhumane. But we cannot understand his concept of life and productivity and the way we have to operate to receive his blessings. Sometime we have to practice self-denial. Sacrifices. We can't hope to accomplish things just by snapping your fingers like that. We have to toil. And some of these toil, they're laborious, tedious. You know, and this is what these disciples went through. But because of obedience, they received blessings, not only for themselves, but for the people that were there. And to said, and they, remember, Peter, they had other people working with them. Because I'm certain it was not only Peter and Andrew. They had other men who had to help them clean the nets and everything. You have to pay them. They have family. Peter had a wife, right? He had family that he had to take care of. And here is Yeshua appearing on the scene, and because of obedience, they were bountifully blessed. You know, we hope to achieve things in life, and we want the easy road. We don't want to go over hurdles. We don't want to drop into potholes. We don't want to jump over ravines. We just want everything to just come. But you know what David said? Yeah, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Sometimes we have to go through the valley. I have just had that experience. You guys all know I left my home. Left everything that I had. What I didn't give away, I sold at minimal price. I came over here for two purposes. One, to get married, and the other one, for the Lord to use me. One fell through. One fell through. But you know what? The other one, upstream. Upstream. Because I am making myself for the Lord to use me. You know, he has a divine assignment for each one of us. If only we will obey him. Peter said, nevertheless, at thy word. The word is a lamp to your feet and a lantern to your pathway. The entrance of your word giveth light. So if you walk in darkness, once that word resonates deep within me, you're going to start walking in light. And the light is Yeshua. He's the light of the world. And if you open up yourself and allow him to live within you, you're going to be more than a conqueror in his name. The enemy will not be able to defeat you. You know, I have some audible listening that I've downloaded for regarding to Rhonda Burns. I don't know if you guys ever read her book or heard about her or movie she made in 2006, Rhonda Burns, The Secret. Well, that made a hit in 2004, she said she was introduced to The Secret that can bring success through positive thinking. And she associated it with the universe, not with Yahweh. But where did our facts came from? Came from the word. As a man thinketh, Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh, so is he. So if you want to think in your heart, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if you want to think in your heart, I can't, I won't, because Peter could have said that, Master, I can't go back out there, I am tired. Master, I won't go back out there, I'm sleepy. But he didn't say that. In his mind resonated a desire to follow the instruction of Yeshua. And because he was obedient, he accomplished a great blessing for him and others. In the OT, there's a man that was a favorite of his son, of his father. And there was jealousy among the siblings. They sold him. He ended up a slave to the Ishmaelites. And then he ended up in Potiphar's house, in control of Potiphar's house. From there, a woman, she lied on him. She tried to rape him and then lied on him. He ended up in prison. But he ended up in the royal prison. You see, the thing about it, our blessings come in different ways. He could have been in the regular prison, but Yahweh put him in the royal prison. And in that prison, he was able to tell the dreams of two of the men that were working with the king, the baker and the steward. And then he told the steward exactly what happened to the baker. Exactly what he told the baker came through. Exactly what he told the steward came through. And he told the steward, remember me. But when the steward went back and he was the king's cupbearer and he went back, he was repositioned and in the kingdom of Pharaoh. And it was not until a dream, it was a dream. They used to call this boy a dreamer, Joseph the dreamer. But that was a gift that was given to him from Yahweh. And that was a very gift that got him exonerated from prison. That was a very gift that caused him to rise as a prime minister in Egypt. And the blessing was not for Joseph alone. The blessing was for the world system. Countries came from afar when they didn't have food. The blessings brought his father to Egypt. Obedience is better than sacrifice, and to hearken is better than the fat of the ram. We have to be very, very conscious of the fact that if we do not obey the voice of Yeshua or Yahweh, we will be damned. We can fall from great heights. Some people, when they get to great heights, they sit in their comfort zone, their ark of safety. But they say the higher you fall, the higher you climb, the harder you fall. Obedience is required of us. Always remember that. And because they obeyed, Peter said, nevertheless, at your word, we will let down the net. And he did. This tired man, he had a sleepless night, a tired morning, but he went back. And hear what Yeshua told him. Launch out in the deep. So apparently, where they were fishing, it was not as deep as where they had to go. So they had to go further. Life endangered. He had to bring back the same people, set up everything all over again. Because when you're going on a fishing expedition, you have to have your nets and everything in order. It's not something that you can jump and do like that. And when he went out and he let down the net, bountiful blessings. That even another boat, so much that both boats were filled and the net broke. He was not ready for that blessing. And that's how sometimes we are. Sometimes we are not even ready for the blessing, but it is there. And you know, I have heard people say, oh, the Lord bless me with a car. Lord, don't bless you with no car. Because of the blessings of the Lord, you got that manifestation. Once you walk in the will of the Lord, he will bless you. And the manifestation are the gifts that comes with the blessings. But obedience is required. Hallelujah. The Lord is wonderful. You know, they had an unproductive night. And because they followed the instruction of Yahweh, they received their blessings. You know, Yahweh repaid Peter for allowing him to use his boat. Yes. Malachi, can you turn for me at Malachi 1:10? Malachi 1:10, he said, who is there even among you that would shut the doors for nothing, not nothing, neither do you kindle fire on my altar for nothing? Once you attend to the things of Yahweh, you're going to be repaid. And here, Peter gave his boat that Yeshua will use it as his pulpit. Yes. Because I guess the people were crowding him so much, he just wanted to go out a little. And you know, with the water will echo your voice more. Yeshua was able to minister to the people from the very boat that he used as a pulpit. Not too long after, he told Peter, launch out in the deep. So he repaid Peter. And that is to show you that we working for the kingdom is never in vain. Pastor Jim, you may not have a crowded assembly, but your work is not in vain. Once you do it diligently, once your heart is set on fulfilling the purposes of Yahweh, your blessings are here. You would not avoid those blessings because he says, once you attend to anything, is you close the door, you attend to the altar, you sing, you play the piano, you keep the assembly going, you will be blessed. And each one of us, once we attend to the things of Yahweh, blessings are there for us. Peter was blessed, and he was blessed abundantly. Let us continue to walk uprightly. You know, we may be afflicted in different ways. And I don't know what is your affliction. You don't know what is my affliction unless I tell you. But whatever your affliction may be, Yahweh's hand is never too short. Nothing is impossible for him. Your affliction may be sickness. Our bodies, the enemy afflict our bodies with all types of diseases. But you know what? All things work together for good for those that love the Lord and those that are called according to his purpose. And our steps are ordered by the Lord. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus because he conquered the enemy over 2,000 years ago. When he went to Calvary and he died, each one of our names were written upon that cross. He died for us. And because we have come to him and come into a relationship with him, we know we are victors in him. So if there are any times that you have self-defeating thoughts, take those thoughts away. Take away the I can't. Take away I won't. Take away I am not. And start declaring, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Never see the impossibility. Always see the possibility. Keep away from negativity. Anybody around you with negative thoughts, away with you. Because they can suppress you and oppress you. And you don't need suppression. You don't need oppression. You need to be a light unto those that are lost out there. When they look at you, you must be the way to Yeshua. So, brethren, I am a long-winded speaker, so I have to cut it short. But I pray that we all be obedient to Yeshua. Because his word says in Ephesians 3 and 16 that it is the Holy Spirit that will strengthen our inner man. Right? And when that Holy Spirit strengthens our inner man, Christ is going to dwell in our heart. Right? And we're going to be anchored in his love. And with other saints, we will understand the heights, the depth, the length and the width of Yeshua's love. If you don't desire the Holy Spirit before today, desire him now. Because he is that connection. Because if the Holy Spirit does not dwell in your heart, Yeshua cannot dwell in your heart. And you cannot understand the heights of his love. Ooh. You can understand the depths of his love, the width. You can't go around his love. You can't go over his love. You cannot go under his love. So, always desire the Holy Spirit. He said, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Blessings to each one of you.